Chapter 1 Life Upcycles. What pictures come to mind when you think about the environment? A beautiful, pristine wilderness, or an untouched, overgrown field? A rocky shore? Mountains rising in the distance? Each of us has images that we associate with the word environment, usually places that are natural and most likely unspoiled. Your thoughts probably flow to the atmosphere that surrounds and supports you, the air you breathe, the bodies of water you enjoy, the trees and grass growing around you, and the birds, flowers, and other living, non-human things that you sometimes observe and appreciate and don't want to see destroyed. This is one view of the environment, a sacred place we enter when we leave our towns, cities, societies, and machinery behind. Ralph Waldo Emerson defined the scope of this ecstatic world in his 1836 essay, Nature. Nature, in the common sense, refers to essences unchanged by man, space, the air, the river, the leaf. For Emerson, nature was immutable, too big for humans to impact. So much for the 19th century. Clearly, humans have changed the air, the river, the leaf. Humans enter the picture, and our arrival turns natural harmony into horror. We are the unruly children of a benign and generous Mother Nature. She gives us everything, and we, irresponsible and thoughtless offspring, make a mess wherever we go. Our vandalism appears unlimited in reach and in detail, on large and small scales. It is everywhere, all the time. One piece of popular visual iconography at this point in history depicts polar bears wandering around looking for ice to walk on. As depressing as this sight is, under the surface, the molecular reality is perhaps even more disturbing. Polar bear blood now contains such chemicals as fire retardants, used in babies' cribs 5,000 miles away. The view is that if we can't stop trammeling nature's riches, we'll bring on our own apocalypse. We wallow in the swarming, chaotic images of destruction and devastation that underscore our criminal behavior, global warming and melting ice caps. Sea levels rising, ruthless floods, droughts, and storms, the pollution of waterways, oceans, and land from agriculture, toxic waste in landfills and on barges, piles and piles of unsorted off-cast material, factory emissions, a strained carrying capacity, mining and mountaintop removal, not to mention social ills such as child labor and unsafe workplaces, exploitation of resources by foreign industries, contamination of our indoor and outdoor air, starving people in the developing world, overpopulation, poisoned fish, and dwindling stocks of deep-sea fish, a vanishing population of species around the world due to diminishing habitat. Remember those polar bears? Stop, you might be thinking. It's too much. We have to be less bad. We have to leave a smaller footprint. We have to make less of an impact. We have to get to zero. Zero waste, zero emissions. Then things could be all right, if it's not too late. There are several flaws in this thinking about the environment. These flaws obstruct true progress. We've just engaged in two of them. 1. Romanticizing Mother Nature. We often romanticize Mother Nature, perhaps because so many of us have lost a deep connection to the larger world. What Richard Luhoff memorably called nature deficit.